Pray with me, please. Dear God, we pray now that as we proclaim your word as an act of worship, you will receive our humble hearts. None of us is prideful, we pray. None of us is boasting in our own abilities, we pray. We look to the Holy Spirit as the one to create in us clean hearts and give us passionate spirits for the Lord God Almighty. And let your word rule in us and transform us and penetrate us, God. And may the Holy Spirit so anoint us as a whole congregation here that we're quickened with sacred affections and burning ardor for the blessed beauty and inimitable wonder of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that your greater glory, as always, will be the supreme concern of every breath we take and every act we make in Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So we are talking about the three wise men today, not the three wise guys. Wise guys are easy to come by. Wise men, that's a whole different matter, isn't it? And we cited that. And wisdom, we know, begins with the fear of the Lord. And because they had such a magnificent, transcendent, all-encompassing fear of the Lord in their lives, these three guys were extravagant. They were extravagant in their seeking of Jesus. Number one, we'll look at that. They were extravagant not just in their seeking, but in their worship of Jesus Christ. And they were extravagant, oh my goodness golly, in their generosity, in their giving to Jesus Christ in gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And as 2021 is upon us, we want to find our lives conformed to these three wise men by virtue of the truth of sacred scripture. They're on the pages there. My goodness, 2,000 years later, you and I are celebrating them, and they're there, they're put there on the pages by nothing less than the inspiration of the work of the Holy Spirit to give us the Word of God in human words, the Bible. Now, this Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for training and teaching and correction, that the servant of God may be trained in all righteousness. And today, we're going to look at all the servants of God being trained, wonderfully so, in the righteousness of extravagance, because there is a time and a place for extravagance and extravagant moments. And I'm going to appeal to you, hopefully time and again, and hopefully not in a way that is too repetitious, that it becomes boring, but I'll appeal to you to not just love God today with your intellectual grasp of who Jesus is, but to be quickened in your affections, in your sacred emotions. It was no one less than the great preacher Jonathan Edwards of the Great Awakening in the 18th century who had people in the congregation rising up with fervent displays of adoration to Jesus Christ. And he was criticized for the congregation doing that. And he said, I see it as my duty to raise the affection of my hearers to as high a possible intensity as I can raise them, as long as those affections are raised in accordance with truth. And we're with the truth of the baby manger, Jesus Christ. We cannot raise our sacred and holy affections high enough in adoration and proclamation, or let me say, extravagance, to the wonder of who our baby, our Savior, our Messiah, Jesus Christ is. So, from the wider biblical perspective, we can say nothing less by way of introduction. What was it that made these wise men wise? We know that the wisdom of God is always formed by beginning with the fear of the Lord. But what is it that moved these wise men out of the so-called complacency of so many others, and we'll look at a couple of those, meaning Herod as well as the religious leaders, and cause them with an extravagance to seek the Lord? We'd have to say right from the get-go that it was nothing less than the sovereign grace of God poured into their hearts. Because men and women universally are dead in trespasses and sins by way of their inheritance from Adam and Eve, in whom we all sinned and we would have done the same thing, and the inheritance put them into a state of deadness. So these three kings, these three wise men are wide awake to the wonder of Jesus Christ. And we have to say that's no one less than the Holy Spirit who caused that to happen. And what happens when the Holy Spirit wakens you? Well, you want to honor Jesus Christ. That's the fear of the Lord. You want to reverence Jesus Christ. That's the fear of the Lord. You want to hunger for the Lord Jesus Christ in 2021. That's the fear of the Lord. You want to build your life on Jesus and around him in such a way that all your New Year's resolutions are fashioned to glorify him and get you closer to Jesus Christ. And yes, these are sacred affections. And yes, these are sacred intellectual affirmations too. They're not just professions, but they are possessions of the greatness of Jesus Christ. So let's get to it then, with the first point, which is nothing less than an extravagant seeking of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to say a better than anything new year by reflecting and exploring how Jesus makes the new year better. But today we're saying, let's get to the manger with the three wise men. And the first thing we're going to observe in getting to the manger is that they had an extravagant seeking of Jesus Christ. How's your seeking of the Lord going so far? It is, after all, January the 10th. And we're 10 days into the new year, and you want to have a check mark by that seeking. Hear God's word, Matthew 2, 1 and 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, can you hear the seeking, the searching? Where? Not just, by the way, we're looking for somebody. But where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star way back there in the east when it rose, and we've come to worship him. You get the most important question in the whole wide world right there, don't you? How can I get to Jesus in 2021? How can I find Jesus? How can I live closer to Jesus and his ways? That's our quest for 2021. Now, Matthew 2, 5 through 6 gives us an interesting answer here. There's a turn on matters. The religious leaders conclude from their study, when they're asked this question, they study the Old Testament, and they come in verse 5, and they tell us, well, we checked it out, and the Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem, because God's word says, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So they tell the three wise men this. But then something very interesting takes place. And don't miss this, please. The religious experts, right? Here we are, the religious experts. Hey, look at this. This works. They themselves, they don't respond to this information. They don't, hit my head again, respond to the star. They stay put. Incredible. That's incredible. How can you not go? It's only 5 miles from where they're sitting, pontificating about the word of God says this and the scriptures declare that, and they don't even go the 5 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. They sit on their seats and they don't move. I can't believe it. Can you believe that? Well, then who are you going to run to? You know, a key difference in your life for 2021 is that you must not be like these religious leaders were. You must instead be like the wise men. Pursue Jesus. Oh, my brother, my sister, pursue him. Let nothing, let nobody get in your way. The wise men were wise because although none of the religious leaders bothered to make the mere 5-mile journey from Jerusalem, the wise men went on their head anyway. They wanted to get to the king. And I'm not talking about Elvis here. They were wise men. Why were they wise men? Because they went hard after the Lord Jesus Christ and wouldn't let the failure of another's example stop them, even if that example was the so-called religious leaders of the day who were pontificating with their intellectual knowledge devoid of a heart passion and burning ardor and emblazoned soul for wanting Jesus in my life, your life. And may I ask, what's the result of their extravagant, relentless effort in seeking Jesus Christ? Well, hallelujah, church, they find him. We sang of their efforts, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star, over hill and over dale to grandmother's house we go. Nothing's going to hold us back from getting to Jesus. Well, over field and fountain, they find him in their lives. What? Are changed. Are changed. I want my life changed. I've known Jesus for nearly, 70 to now 30, 50 years. I want my life changed with Jesus, and so do you. We're still reading about these guys. Wouldn't you say that the Lord Jesus Christ is greatly glorified by such efforts? The star power was radiant enough for everybody to see. It's right there, hanging in the sky. But the religious leaders neglected to respond. So what's the difference between the religious leaders and the three wise men? Pretty evident. They're the wise men. Wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, his reverence in your heart and in your mind, and you're honoring the Lord with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So here's our first 2021. I know you made your own, but here's another one. 2021, New Year's resolution we should take home from this first point of the authoritative, inspired gift of love in the Word of God, resolved not to let anybody stop us from seeking Jesus Christ in 2021. Resolved to find Jesus, to seek Jesus, to give up whatever would hinder me, you, us from getting to Jesus, to not let any fear or whatever dissuade us from getting Jesus. The sooner, the better, the more, the merrier. And one practical implication of this, I know it's like, duh, is the Lord's Day. I'll tell you what, when that star in the sky called the sun, 93 million miles away, we learned in grade school, I think it's that, isn't it? Well, nobody else knows, then I'm right. 93, when he rises in the sky, you don't have to travel to Bethlehem to find Jesus. You just got to get yourself to church to honor the Lord's Day. And again, we commend those on the internet who, because of COVID concerns, legitimate, might not be here, but you're here. You're with us. And that's a very practical application of this extravagance in seeking. And so high five yourselves. Pat yourself on the back. I shake your hand, my wife, Jan, for coming. You didn't have much of a choice, did you, honey? No, on her own, she would be here. All right, second point then. You ready? Extravagant worship. Oh, can you beat it? Like the three wise men at the manger in Bethlehem, worship Christ. Worship him with sacred passion and rejoice over Jesus with heartfelt adoration of him. Hear God's word in Matthew 2:2, because it gives you the words that should be emblazoned on your hearts with the sapphire stylus of God's burning pen, changing our hearts, igniting our hearts. For we have seen his star and have come to worship him. For we have seen his star and have come to worship him. Likewise, Matthew 2:10 picks up on their expanded eagerness as they're getting closer in this moment of worship. The Word of God says, check this out. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And isn't that where, and isn't that the way we want our worship to be? They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. The Bible puts it that way, the authoritative Word of God, because the Bible is God-breathed, and it is useful for you and me in teaching and rebuking lethargy and correcting apathy and training us in righteousness so that the servant of God, you servants of God, you may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, 2 Timothy 3:16. Again, don't get no better good work than worship, does it? Forgive my English, but it don't. So the Bible says here in Matthew 2:10, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Just in case we might miss it, that is a quadruple way of saying they rejoiced in worship. That's what that is. Let me tell you what I mean here when I say a quadruple way of rejoicing. We're talking about not just a single, not just a double, not just a triple, but a quadruple. We might call that what? A home run. It would have been number one, single, great enough to say they rejoiced. That's a single. Even better to say they rejoiced with joy. That's your double. Still kicking it up a notch to say they rejoiced with great joy. There's your triple. But no, no. God's word quadrupled the extravagance in their worship modality. They rejoiced with exceedingly with great joy. A quadruple there, a home run. And what was their quadruple joy all about? They were getting closer to Jesus in the new year to worship him with the white hot heat of their sacred affections, ignited with extravagant worship, rising from their hearts and stirred by their souls. And here's a definition of worship that I read again this past week. It's not mine, but I love it. Here it is. The essence of authentic corporate worship is our collective heartfelt rejoicing over the glory of Jesus Christ, or a deep longing for it and a deep trembling within that we do not have it. It's good to know where we're aiming, isn't it? We might not always be there. And sometimes I sing my hymns and you do too with a quasi mind that's floating. But this is where we want to be. This is the resolution. I will worship God as much as I can muster with the power of the Holy Spirit, being called upon and begged for and yearned for and pleaded, so that I'm extravagant in my adoration of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit himself is glorified as the blessed third person of the Trinity. And again, check it out. There's a comparison here. You know, we learn by the via negationis, the way of negation. You put something down there, and a comparison and an absence. These are ripe pears, and they're not rotten pears. And so I learned what a ripe pear is by not wanting a rotten pear. That's a pretty poor example. I had a better one, but I can't think of it. The way of negative compared with his passages is here. Check this out. Herod stayed put while pledging phony worship, while the three wise men moved with the star to experience true worship, true rejoicing, quadruple rejoicing, and extravagant rejoicing. And just as the religious leaders sat on their chairs, not willing to go the 5 miles, you have that comparison. Now you've got another comparison. God wants you to know by way of negation who you don't want to be. That's the difference. The difference between Herod and the wise men, I'll tell you the difference. The sovereign grace of God had not moved upon the deadness of Herod's heart to give him a vision of the glory of his only begotten Son, the Christ, born in a manger. But you see, what's happened with your heart in Jesus Christ, his sovereign grace has quickened you. And you know, and therefore you come, and you delight over Christ, and you pursue your highest happiness in his expanded glory over your world. Your passion for the matchless glory and wonder of Jesus Christ is engendered by extravagant worship of his holy name. And check out how this works. Verse 11, God's word says, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him." But here's the significant point about extravagant worship of the Blessed Trinity. It's much more than merely bowing down and worshiping him. No, no, no. Please, again, don't separate verse 11 from the quadruple punch that we already looked at in verse 10. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Your Savior, your Christ, is not glorified by the ho-hum, by the preoccupied, by the lukewarm. Your desiring Christ rightly is not just ascribing authority and dignity to him with some intellectual affirmation. It is doing it joyfully. Light, knowledge of him, but heat in the heart. And like the wise men, we rejoice because we have come to know something about Jesus and to feel something about Jesus. And that is so desirable that being near Jesus, to ascribe authority and all dignity to him personally, is so overwhelmingly compelling and fulfilling to our human Christian heart that not only our mind is engaged in the intellectual perception of his royal beauty, but our affections and our emotions are ignited with the glow of rejoicing over his glory and exceedingly great joy over who he is. And that's our second New Year's resolution from this passage. Resolved to seek a quadruple joy in our extravagant worship of Jesus Christ for 2021. Can I get an amen? Thank you. And that ushers us right into the next one, doesn't it? Third, extravagant generosity. You've been waiting for this one, I know. Because here we see from this passage that extravagant effort in getting to Jesus and extravagant worship in rejoicing over Jesus and now extravagant generosity for the sake of his glory, they're all an act of worship. They're all an act of glorifying him. 1, 2, 3. There's a first half and a second half now to verse 11, and they go together, of course. Please hear the word of God, the entirety of verse 11. We already looked at one part of it. And going into the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they fell down and worshipped him, right? Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. May I offer this tenderly, pastorally, I hope to you, not as a condemnation, but as an awareness for my heart, yours. If we claim to have come close to Jesus, and we have never had the impulse to fall down before him, to bow down before our Savior and to reach further and deeper to worship him by falling before him, then something's not quite right with our claim. And we need the movement of the Holy Spirit for fresher resolution. You know, way back in 71 is when I met Dr. R.C. Sproul, who had a wonderful reformed influence on my life, and I'm humbled by that grace that shifted me around in my thinking. But I remember his saying to a group of us, let's pray together. So I'm sitting there and I fold my hands on the chair like a nice little boy. And you know what he does? He falls on the ground. He just falls on the ground and starts pouring out his heart to Jesus. You don't forget a moment like that. You don't forget a moment like that. And we're looking at sacred and holy, God-glorifying extravagance for 2021. And I have to ask myself, is there any room in my life for this? Perhaps I would say an easy yes. Perhaps you would. But look what accompanies that answer if we say an easy yes. An extravagant worship of Jesus shows itself in extravagant generosity to Jesus. What do you think? Is that a biblical pattern or what? That when people come to Jesus, their center of focus shifts from skimping to generosity, from hoarding and holding to giving and glorifying. These three wise men who feared the Lord as the beginning of their wisdom had hearts tuned to the supreme majesty of Jesus the Savior in such a way that there was a result. They worshiped his glory generously with gold and frankincense and myrrh. And now we know from the other Bible passages that God is not served by human hands as though he needed anything, Acts 17:25. So the gifts of the wise men are not given by way of assistance to the need meeting of the poor baby Jesus. It would dishonor a king if foreign visitors came with royal care packages. Nor are these gifts given as a bribe. Deuteronomy 10:17 says that God takes no bribes. Well, then what do they mean? How are these gifts worshiped? How are your gifts worshiped? I'll tell you how they are. I'm happy to do that today, aren't I? Gifts are your logical demonstration of your hearts on fire with desire for the Messiah himself, in the same way that spending a night in prayer is. When you give a gift to Jesus like this, it's a way of your saying, the quadruple joy that I pursue is not the hope of getting rich things from you. I have not come to you for your things, but I've come to you for you, for yourself. And this desire for you is so strong that I demonstrate it by giving things up in the hope of enjoying you more. Not these things of mine do I want to enjoy, but you, O Lord Jesus Christ. And the hope also, what? Of others enjoying you more through the ministry and mission that is funded by extravagant generosity to your glory. Lord, by giving to you what you do not need and what I might enjoy if I still had it, I'm saying more earnestly and more authentically, you, O Lord Jesus Christ, are my treasure. It's you, Jesus, not these things. So the third New Year's resolution is extravagant generosity, which brings us then to the conclusion and our mission. We can't miss our mission. What is it? Well, the same sovereignty of God that hung the star in the sky is the same sovereignty of God that's pushing on us now. Who put that star in the sky? Who moved it across? God did. Who settled it over Bethlehem? God did. And in his sovereignty, he disclosed to the Magi the wonders of the baby born in the manger as the eternal Christ embodied, the eternal Son of God embodied in human flesh, and that stirred them toward the logical reaction of extravagant effort, of extravagant worship, and extravagant giving. And you see, at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, it's a come see motif. Come and see the baby Jesus. Come and see Magi. Hey, shepherds, come on over to the manger here and check it out. And the shepherds did, and they went back worshiping and glorifying God for all they had seen and heard, Luke chapter 2. But here the sovereignty of God is operative so much that he moves heaven and earth globally, universally. Luke shows God influencing the entire Roman Empire so that the census was called at that exact time when Mary's birth would be due in Bethlehem so that the eternal Christ child could fulfill the prophecy that he would be born in Bethlehem. And Matthew shows God's sovereignty influencing the star in the sky to get these foreign magi dudes to Bethlehem, field and forest, field and fountain, moor and mountain. We traverse so far. We're going. That is God's design, and that is our mission, to get people to come to Jesus Christ. And at the beginning here in these chapters, as I say, it's a come see. But what happens at the end of Matthew? It's a go and tell. Jesus comes to them and says, behold, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. And I've risen from the dead, and I've fulfilled my calling to die at the cross for the sake of your presenting the gospel of Jesus in tenderness and love with an extravagant effort and extravagant worship and extravagant generosity. And you know what? We've done that. And now Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. This is your mission, you extravagant people, you. This is your mission. Go and do that. And what? Low, high, middle, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. And you are wise, and we are wise, if we hear this, and we are wise if we see this, and we are wise men and wise women if we join them. These wise men from the East are not Jews, and yet God moves heaven and earth, literally moves heaven. Moves a star of wonder, a star of night, a star of royal beauty, bright westward leading still. whoops, still proceeding, to guide us to thy heavenly light. And that star leads us to Emmanuel, God with us, of Bethlehem, and it's still proceeding to guide us in our mission and in our ministry, that others can see the perfect light and their hearts can be blessed with the furnace of God's transforming fire of divine love and salvation and release of guilt and release of the degradation of sin that draws us down and lifts us up. That's the reason. That's reason enough for extravagance, for God's glory and his praise and his honor. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, as we sing our last hymn that again recalls the three wise men and the star, we pray the Holy Spirit's ongoing blessing. And Father, I just want to add my own prayer with the pastor search committee's prayer, that you be bringing us someone. And we know you have your sovereign ways, but we also know you can hear us when we say, come quickly, Lord, with your actions and guidance. And when we say that, we want to say for the new year, come quickly, Lord Jesus, in your return. Thank you, God. Amen.